Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of Soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
Hi, welcome to the Outlander Gab on the Air. We always seem to have an abrupt ending there. I wish we had a volume button that worked. But this is Erin Conrad. I'm your host. I'm the senior editor from 3fispace.net. And I urge you to go over there and check out everything on the site, and you'll find lots of fun stuff. Tonight we have with us, as usual, Sam Krofner. Say hi, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
And we have with us again, as she has been all season, and I think we might make her a permanent co-host, our friend Coco Pitkin. Say hi, Coco.
Hello from Seattle.
There you go. So tonight, we don't have a huge amount to talk about. We've got some things. I'm just back from a two-week vacation, and I know Sam and Coco mentioned it last week, but I got to see Coco in Arizona, and we got to see Diana, and that was a lot of fun. But I'm just home last night, so it was a whole day of travel. It was so much fun. But now I have to sort out everything that I brought home from that event, from the Northern Arizona Celtic Heritage Society. And I don't know that I can.
And she doesn't drink.
And I don't drink. I just may start it. Might help. But tomorrow, go to my group. And if you're not in my group, you need to join on Facebook, the Outlandishly 3fispace. And I will have an item that Diana signed, knowing I was planning to give it away in the group. And you will have a chance to win this item. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And there may be some other things that go along with it. So
one of those things too? You don't have to tell me what.
Say that again.
Did I buy one also?
You got one.
Okay.
But no, I didn't ever sign one of those. But the thing I'm giving away, you also have one of. What you did with it, I don't know. So tomorrow I'll be looking for the post about the giveaway. Let's see. So upcoming, we have next week's episode, and then remember Easter Sunday the 17th. We have a break, so you don't have to be rushing from your bunny dinner to watch Outlander or stay up late in the middle of the night and not be able to put out baskets for your children. You'll have a little bit of break. And let me tell you, after next week's episode, you are going to need a break. And then the show will be back on the 24th. We will still be here consistently. We won't take a break. We will still be here. Because we will find things to talk about. And not that they
that
check with
be
us,
difficult.
It just might not be all Outlander. Yeah, won't be difficult. So that's the plan. And then our last broadcast for the season will be the Tuesday after the final episode, and here's why. 2 days later, I leave for New Zealand, and I get to go squish my grandbabies, and I will be gone for the month of May. So I am
Wait,
not
you
promising.
You know what day that is, right?
May the 5th?
No, the last show.
May 3rd?
Yes.
Well, is it somebody's birthday?
Oh, it might be. Just like today is Karen's birthday.
Yes.
See somebody else's.
Yes, yes. So we'll have to sing, which will not be fun, but we will do it anyway. be fun for the rest of you. We will just say that. That's sort of the plan. So keep tuned and watch social media for reminders. We had an episode this weekend that was kind of interesting. What did you guys think of the very opening of the episode? We'll just talk about
you mean
this
the flashback?
And we'll get onto some
of the music.
Yeah.
Or the scene?
Yeah. What about? I'm sorry, we're talking over each other and it gets a little tough.
The music or the scene?
Both.
The music was okay. I actually like the ending music a lot better.
The Colonel Bogey march?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Let's just talk about this opening scene just a little bit, and then we've got a little bit of news to bring all of you. So, Outlander-related news. What did you think of I thought it was hysterical. Andrew Gower has been using the hashtag Bonnet Prince Charlie.
Oh, I missed that. Bonnet Prince Charlie. Oh, that's funny.
Bonnet Prince Charlie. I thought that was terrific, and I realized as he said it that I had missed hearing his mark me, so that filled my soul.
Oh, as soon as he said mark me, I just started cracking up. That was the best part of that opening scene. Like, oh, no, not again. He's back.
I loved it, whining about the bonnet and wearing women's garb. So
he wasn't wearing a corset. What's he complaining about?
The bonnet.
Yeah, under the big cloak. What's so tough about wearing a bonnet? It's a hat.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But it was funny. And on Twitter, with his post, I posted the video that you guys took in London where you asked him for three words that related to his character. And he said, I might dress up, four words. So,
yeah, he was
very
pretty funny.
Yeah, he was cute. He was very cute. So then Grieger, I don't even know how to pronounce his name correctly. Does anybody know how to pronounce it all?
No. Let's go with what you said. It sounded great.
Okay. I don't know how to pronounce his last name,
he was the man in the red plaid suit.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked to him for a while. He's a really nice guy,
he has
a great voice.
Well, you should have asked him how he pronounced his name.
He actually told me, but I was drinking, so yeah. I mean, this is at the after party.
I did not talk to him. I wasn't right there. I was probably walking around to stay warm.
Yes, the open air parties in Scotland in February are not a good idea. I really enjoyed that version. And he had posted on his Facebook page and on YouTube a video. And the video has scenes from all of the seasons of Outlander, but of him singing this version. And I really like it. And I'm glad it's on the soundtrack, which is currently available. You can buy the soundtrack for season 6 at the moment from Bear McCreary. So what else is going on? We only have a couple things we know about. I know that there's Debbie Ford, who does the Through the Stones convention, is expanding her line, and she will be putting out a Yellowstone con. If you're not familiar with Yellowstone, it's Kevin Costner is a cowboy out in Montana, and the show got me hooked. Badly hooked, along with its spinoff, 1883. But she is going to have Moses Brings Plenty, who plays Mo, sort of like the bodyguard to Chief Rainwater in Yellowstone. And she is going to have another guest. I know she mentioned who it was, and now I can't remember. It's, I can't find his name. Anyway, the convention is in Iowa, Davenport, Iowa, and it will be October 28th and 29th. And it's called Through the Yellow Stones because her Outlander convention is called Through the Stones.
That
so
cracks
if you're
me up.
Yeah. If you're interested in that, you can go to her, the Facebook page she has set up for it. It's called Through the Yellow Stones, THRU, the Yellow Stones. And as we get more information about that, I'm sure we'll be bringing it to you in a couple of our different Facebook groups. But if it's as fun as Through the Stones is, then this will be great. I will not be able to be there as much as I love the show. My New Zealand son and daughter-in-law and babies will be here in the U.S. that weekend.
I might just have to watch it to get a feel for it because
I
just have no
idea. You would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. So I think you should. So what else? Tell me what else you know about.
Well, there's I had been hearing about it for a little while. One of our Outlander friends, Elaine Milo, and her group of Outlander friends, they're doing a multi-fandom event in July, and it's where kingdoms and clans, and it's where fandoms collide. And I think she might be on the line. And
okay, well, let's bring
her on. She can possibly
on.
Talk all about it, and she can tell everybody who her guests are. I don't want to steal her thunder.
Hi, Elaine. Is that you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi, Elaine.
I feel like I hit the trifecta. Erin, Samantha, Coco. I'm not worthy.
Always trouble with
like
those.
Down.
But see, now you have to listen to us every week.
I know. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, you're kind of interesting. So,
oh,
yes,
good.
I will.
I know.
Thank
you. Or chopped liver.
Tell us about your event, Elaine.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. How many hours do we have?
5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the event is called Kingdoms, Clans, and Swords and Shields, and that's the name of the event. But, of course, you know, we always have the acronym is KICKASS, and that
is
exactly that's what we expect that the weekend will be. It's going to be just a kick-ass weekend. What we've done is we have taken two fandoms, Outlander, of course, and The Last Kingdom, and we've got guests from both of those shows because our very unscientific research along the way told us that there was a big crossover that, you know, Outlander fans liked, you know, TLK and TLK fans liked Outlander. And so we said, what the heck? Let's just put, you know, two shows together. People can make one stop and get a two for one. And, we have, so for our event, and I might just tell you that we're kind of going out of the box a little bit here. You know, we've got kind of like a normal conventional con going on in the hall that we've rented, and we have a ton of space outside the hall. So what we've done is kind of like in the hall is going to be the convention experience, and outside the hall is going to be more of a kind of like a fair type, you know, like a, I'm not going to say a Renaissance fair, but, you know, festival, if you will, experience. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll
yeah.
have pipers, and we've got axe throwing, and, you know, we've got a number of other activities that we're working on so that you can, you know, at times, you know, we almost like at these conventions, there are down times, like when you've gotten your autograph or you've gotten your photograph or whatever, and, you know, you're waiting for your friends or whatever it might be. So we have put it together so that, you know, in that downtime, you have like other stuff to do right on site. So we hope everyone, you know, thinks it's as good of an idea as we think it is.
What are the dates?
Okay. So the dates are July 8th through the 10th.
Okay.
And this July. And it's going to be held in Salem, Massachusetts. So there'll be plenty to do when you're not at the convention. And we encourage people to come in a few days early or stay a few days after and, you know, and enjoy the area. And so right now we've got for Outlander guests, we just announced Downey, whom we all love, I think. You know, I mean, I just love him. And and for the first time ever at a convention, drum roll please, Paul Gorman. So we're and I think he's excited to come. Coco, do you want to tell your story?
Well, actually Samantha was there too, but it was kind of loud. But we got to have a longer chat with Paul at the after party, in addition to his mom, dad, sister, and girlfriend.
Yeah, the whole family.
He is absolutely delightful. However, he was saying that he was going to be going to a convention over the summer. I said, oh, where? He says, Salem. I said, oh, Salem, Massachusetts? He says, oh, yeah. I said, oh, okay, yeah, I know that host. So anyway, so we kind of knew, like, 2 months, no, was it? Oh, about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks
February.
Ago.
Yeah.
So he was excited. He was all smiles. So I would imagine with Paul, what you see is what you're going to get. And that's a big kick-ass smile.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah,
we're
really excited. Yeah. And we've got, as you know how this works, there are, you know, surprises to come. We are, you know, we expect that we'll have like five, you know, we're hoping to have five talents from Outlander and five from The Last Kingdom, you know, kind of even it out if we can. And we will just have a great time. You know, there's going to be panels and autographs and photographs and selfies and meet and greets. And we've got some kind of special, I'll say, setups, if you will, for the photo ops. I don't know. Do you guys remember, like, in Chicago, I think it was 2018, they had the stones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, like, a stone.
Yes.
So we can't do something that big. But, like, for the photo ops, you know, people will have a choice. They can have a choice of having the stones. You know, we're actually having our local drama club kids build the stones. And then also for the Last Kingdom people, they're putting together a shield wall. So when you get your photo taken, you can choose the stones or a shield wall. Or, you know, if you like the traditional background, you can just have the curtain in the background. So, you know, we're trying to, like, add little things here and there to kind of make it a little special. I don't know what you think, but
I like the idea.
Well,
that's
like
great.
Everything is always different. Every event is always different.
Yeah.
Little specialties.
Yeah. And you know, yes, and I'm glad you said it, because that's the beauty of all this, right? I was listening to you talking about, you know, through the Yellowstones and through the stones. And, you know, Coco, I know you have your event annually, you know, Outlandish Vancouver, and there are other events, the Ridge, I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, there are so many different events, and they're all different, you know, all special in their own way. And there's just so much out there for Outlander fans. There's just plenty to go around. That's what I always say, you know, which is wonderful.
Yep. And there are enough people who like Outlander who are willing to go to things. A lot of people aren't willing to go too far So they have right. one event in Massachusetts, one event in Seattle, one event in North Carolina. You know,
spreads it around. Yeah,
spreads
I like
it around. And that's that. And everyone brings something different. You know, it's
exactly.
it, no
yeah.
no two events work the same way, have the same people, offer the
right.
same kind of bonuses. You know, so it's great.
Yeah,
it's great, and I'm really happy about that. So I have not cool. seen The Last Kingdom. So should I add it to my list?
Oh, you definitely should.
So I evidently have two shows that I now have to watch. I've
oh,
never
yeah.
watched
two.
The Last Kingdom,
yeah.
and I've never watched
yep.
Yellowstone.
Yep. So. Both of them added tonight.
There we go. Well, I'm one
yeah.
up on you since I've seen every episode of Yellowstone probably 5 times.
My mom likes that show, so I'm
really?
Sure that I like it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can see
oh,
your mom
wow.
liking it.
Yeah, I definitely have to watch Yellowstone. That's how is that still running? Is it still?
It's not on at the moment. Season 4 ended 2 months ago, I want to say. They're working on season 5. They did a spinoff, which is only going to be a one season. Was always planned as just a one season event called 1883. Which is,
yeah.
oh my God, you can watch that separately even if you've never watched Yellowstone and it has nothing to do with it. Well, it does, but, you know, kind of in a side way. But it's about a group of people, including the ancestors of Kevin Costner's character in Yellowstone, going from Texas to Oregon on the Oregon Trail. And,
oh, wow.
It's the main character is an 18-year-old girl, the daughter of the family, and she does a voiceover like Claire does, a voiceover in Outlander, that is so beautifully written and so lyrical that it's just wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
Wow. And it was only intended to be as a one season show, and when you watch it, you'll understand why. But you can get through that. It's eight episodes, I think. It's only on Paramount Plus, which is not a cable channel. It's a streamer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you have to have Paramount Plus. Well, that's wrong. I'm sorry. It was on one cable channel, but I don't know if they're doing, you know, if it's like on demand or anything. So that was quite an amazing show. So I really enjoyed that. It was one of those shows that I ran for as soon as it dropped every week, just like a couple other shows that are on Paramount Plus. That was one of the best
wow.
investments in streamers that I've made. I watch the two current Star Trek shows on there, so Picard and Discovery. I strongly suggest those. Yellowstone gets very violent. Not like bloody violent like Sopranos or anything, but these men don't hesitate to kill you for looking at you wrong. So,
okay.
But they're all good looking, so, you know, who knows.
They're all good looking.
So, that's kind of the way it goes. So, so I would suggest that. But I will add Last Kingdom to my long list of shows to watch. So,
yeah.
Especially
it's,
as Picard
it's not,
wraps up for the season.
Yeah, it's not... Last Kingdom is not a Game of Thrones. It actually is, you know, there's a lot of history to it because similar to Outlander. It is about the birth, literally the birth of England, you know, and the conflicts between the individual kingdoms and Alfred the Great and him trying to bring the kingdoms together. And so it's, you know, the backstory is the birth of England. The big story is, you know, Uhtred, son of Uhtred, and all his conflicts. So, but yeah, it's good. It's very good.
That last comment reminds me of something Ian said to Major McDonald. Yeah, name like Donald, son of Donald. So, Uhtred, son of Uhtred.
That's pretty good.
Uhtred, son of. And I will tell you that it took me the longest time to watch that show because I kept hearing Uhtred, son of Uhtred, and I'm like, that annoys me. Like, I don't think I could watch this show. And then what happened was, you know, this thing called COVID hit, and I said, what the heck? And that was it, you know? So, yeah. It's like, it's similar to Outlander, not in storyline, but, you know, the actors are, it's like a family, you know, the actors are very accessible online. There's a lot of, you know, behind the scenes stuff, and you can tell just like Outlander that they really, really enjoy working together, that they really enjoy each other. And, you know, a lot of my joy in both fandoms is just watching them enjoy each other and the pranks that they, you know, play and that kind of, you know what I mean? It just, it's all positive. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, Elaine, thank you so much for calling in and telling us all about this. And I realized you're not in my Outlandishly 3 of my space group, but if you ever decide to join, feel free to post links and any info. Oh, do you have where can people go to find out more about it or to buy tickets?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I should know this by heart. Is this terrible? I'm not the internet person, the social media person, I should say, in this group, let me tell you. But it is, I'll find it. Oh, my God, this is embarrassing. And you know, I'll think, Sean, that's there going, it's blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's pinkyswear-events.myshopify.com, I believe. And so, Erin, I will definitely join your group. I apologize for not joining your group. And then,
lashes right now.
And Elaine, I think you've already also joined the pollinator group just to make sure that group, because I told Kathy about that last week because she runs that Paul fan group, small but mighty, but she definitely wants to help promote this, and she's thrilled that you've got Paul coming. So
and of course, she's coming.
Yes,
She just posted that she's coming, so we're pretty excited. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. As far as the Outlander verse goes with this, you all have been so kind and generous with your time and your encouragement in promoting this event that, you know, I mean, we can't thank you all enough because, you know, it takes a lot, you know, to get one of these things off the ground. So, you know, we're working very hard, and we just appreciate the support a lot. Well, believe
and me. We support each other, and we support all the organizers because they help make sure that the fans get what they need, that the cast gets the money and the publicity that they need. And we're not competitors. We're here to support each other. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's community, not a competition.
And we have fun at every single one of them.
Yes, we do.
Well, thanks a lot, Elaine.
Some legal, some illegal.
We appreciate you calling in and letting us know about it. So
and,
we're going to say goodnight.
And I so appreciate you giving. Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you were able to join us. Okay.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye, Elaine.
Well, that was interesting. The you know, new event. So that sounds good. Yeah. So if you would like to call in and talk to us about your event or about episode 605 or anything else that you think is new and noteworthy, give us a call, 929-477-3898. 929-477-3898. But if you're listening to this, it's right in front of your face on the screen.
So save us from, otherwise we're just going to spend the next half an hour talking about all those broody looks that Lord John Gray kept giving
say something about Lord John. So I read that this was possibly his only episode of the season, and he really set up the conflict between himself and his loyalties, he's a lord, and Jamie.
Well,
he set them up pretty well.
I guess we'll have to wait. We've got three more episodes to go. What kind of surprised me was that Lord John would be very public about saying that Jamie was one of his dearest friends when he's a Jacobite traitor who had been imprisoned for it, and Lord John is, you know, in the House of
Lords.
Well,
he can protect him. But he can protect him. He's a lord.
Yeah, but it still surprised me that he's willing to say that in public,
so,
I guess.
As Jamie turned away after Lord John said that he would delay his men, so that look screamed, Lord John is still in love with Jamie Fraser. Oh, yes.
Oh, it did.
So, yes. Didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Yep.
No mistaking that.
Right.
But that was a great line that he had, you know, about the, particular fondness for Reformed Jacobites. That was a great line. I just screwed it up, but I was like, yep.
Yep. So, yeah.
I'm
not
sure
really
he's so reformed, but okay, we'll go with that.
Right. Yep. Very interesting. We have another caller. Let's see who this is today.
Let me guess, Kathy.
Hi, you're on the air. Who is this? Yeah.
You should buy a lottery ticket. Yes, Kathy.
We said your name three times, so you showed up just like Beetlejuice.
Well, I missed it last week. I actually, when I listened and I heard you guys saying that, I was like, oh, man. But I had a migraine last week, and so it was like I had to wait to listen. But, yes, I'm calling not on behalf of Caitlin's Coterie tonight, but of the Pollinators, and I'm really excited about the event. I just bought my ticket. And I get, you know, I know I don't get to choose what order in the line I'll be to meet him, but if I can be the first in line to meet Paul, I'm going to be in the first in line to meet Paul. So I'm really excited about that.
We might be able to hook you up.
Pardon?
We might be able to hook you up.
Well, I was going to say, I can take people out. I mean, I know there's going to be the Last Kingdom people there, and they're going to be, like, with swords and shields and stuff, and they're not kidding around. I mean, like, you know, I think they give the Highlanders a run for their money, those Danes and Saxons. They're pretty scary. Well, you know me, I'm a rule follower. I'm not going to break any rules, but I will be as close to the front of the line as I can be. So I'm hoping anyone who's been enjoying Paul Gorman as Joe and Kezie and that storyline, hopefully we'll see a little bit more in the next three episodes. But I'm hoping that if you're able to go to that you come and support him. And, you know, it'll be lots of other neat people to meet. Tim is wonderful, and I'm sure the Last Kingdom people. I keep thinking it's Lost Kingdom, but it isn't. It's Last Kingdom. it's a whole different thing, Last and Lost. Just one letter different makes all the world.
Right.
Yeah, I'm hoping people will come and support him and be there to cheer him on. And it is his first con, And I know he's been to the United States before, so it's not his first trip. But, you know, the only thing I'm concerned about is that, you know, Salem and its history with witches, I don't know how safe I'll be there. But I'm fine. Sorry. I couldn't resist. I couldn't.
Well, you know, hey, just bring your broom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave the tarp.
Yeah,
don't need that on the broom.
Yeah, because if you just wave them at people, evidently they stay back.
Mm-hmm.
Angry mobs will back off of someone waving a broom.
Well, all you have to do is paint the end of the bristles black.
Right.
Yeah, because then they think it's tar. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a Star Fury cosplay too here.
Mm. Well, yeah, I do already have my idea for Star Fury that I really think I'm gonna do, and I think I'm actually gonna wear it in my photo op with Sam and go in the costume contest. It's that kind of thing. But, yeah, but the tar and feathering thing, you know, the tar and feathering without any feather, that's going to be a great photo op opportunity with both David Barry and Sam.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me, I actually have a broom on my wall that I could use and paint.
There you go. You heard it here first.
That's funny.
So question for you. If you hire Paul Gorman to come to a con, do you have to pay him twice?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, do you have to line up in line to get him signing the autographs as Joe and another
and
line signing as Kenny?
Right.
Maybe
and you have to buy
extra
photo op.
He can
sign Joe with the left hand.
You that question.
Right? He can sign Joe with the left hand and Kezi with his right. He'll do both at the same time.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, interesting. We'll have to check and see how he feels about that. You could look at it the other way, that you are getting two characters for the price of one.
There you go.
That's true. Kathy, a question for you.
Yes.
This week's episode, we had Lizzie having an issue because of her malaria. Was that mentioned at all in the show at any point before this?
No.
There was a very, very brief in season four. It was buried under that. It was when they first got to Fraser's Ridge, when Brianna and Lizzie and Ian all came to the cabin, and Bree was, you know, still going through the whole aftermath of being raped by Bonnet. There's a line where Lizzie is sick and Claire goes to the cabin, and it's really a throw off line. They really don't spend any time on it, but yeah,
okay.
They do mention it there, and then they don't mention it again all through season five.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was wondering if it had been something that was set up and then like deleted scenes or scenes that didn't even get to be filmed where we saw more of that, but it certainly seemed it just seemed like it was awkwardly placed in there.
And really only
for the purpose of setting up what's coming.
Yeah, you know, what's really interesting is it's almost like they didn't think they were going to be committing to the story, and then all of a sudden they went, oh, yeah, we are going to commit to the story.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I spend the most of the time talking to people online about is about Kezi and why he can speak so well. But because, you know, it's like all of a sudden in season six, he's having full conversations. You can't really tell the difference from when it's Joe and when it's Kezi. But here's the deal. There are several things. First of all, the first episode we see him in is in 503, and when they catch him stealing clothes, and he's sitting by the fire, he talks. He asks Joe for more. He finds more food, but he also says more. And so he clearly can speak. Then Claire, with her magic mirror out in a forest, could look at his eardrum with her mirror. And, you know, she's like, oh, yeah. And I'm surprised they haven't healed up, that his eardrum. So even though his ears have been slapped all those years by Beardsley, she's surprised they haven't healed up. And then you have to watch the Outlander Untold from the season 5 DVD called Deceptively Charming, where Lizzie thinks it's Kezi and it's really Joe, but she makes a comment about how it's great. She thinks it's great that he's speaking and hearing so well since Mistress Claire did her whatnot, you know, meaning the tonsillectomy. So you had to know that the tonsillectomy took away all the infections he was getting that was helping keep his hearing and eardrums bad. Then you had to watch that where Lizzie says that for you to understand that over time, Kezi actually can hear and speak much better because of all of that. But the show really kind of just didn't explain that at all.
Hmm.
So they really have, that's why I think it's kind of like they thought, like, I don't know, did they think, well, we're not going to really do this, and so we don't have to build up to that. And then at some point someone said, no, we really ought to include Lizzie and the twins. And so they just were like, there you go. There you go. We're just going to count on the book readers telling everybody else what's going on, and we're just going to move along. So,
interesting.
And they're usually so good at giving more hints.
That's a lot like a lot of people have been asking now, why can Roger sing? You know, it was too hard for, you know, a season and a half or however long it was, season, for him to go around with a raspy voice. And now it's like, okay, he's been working at it. He's healed his voice, and now he can sing again, even though in the books he really struggled for a long time until he met some certain doctor, which shall remain unnamed.
Yeah.
But
And that's, you know, and that was such a, you know, that's why the hanging was so particular. I mean, it would be cool to any church, particularly cool to Roger, because that was his identity on The Ritz. He had finally started to show his value as a storyteller through song. And it was how he, you know, when he came, that was the one skill he brought with him that was valued by other people of that time. And
but that was really only a book-only thing. They never got into that in the show.
Yeah, they just kind of just, again, it was another thing that kind of, it was, again, one of my big, one of the things that I felt like they did disservice to the character of Roger is by not emphasizing that. And by then, I get why they didn't have the time to let him heal. They just he just went off with Ian and everything was fine. And I mean, that was really lovely that they had that time together. But again, it was one of the things that they were just like, okay, you guys just have to fill in the gaps. We just don't have time for this.
Right. Well, you know, there are a lot of considerations you have to make both for visuals and content.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're doing a TV show, and I guess that was one of them. So,
Diana would call it is moving through the story. You have to move from point A to point B
right
on screen. versus in the book, you can really talk a lot about it.
Yeah.
Or just switch gears to another paragraph or chapter.
Right.
And it's inferred.
Yeah. Oh.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I say things like that. It's criticism, but it isn't like I'm not trying to be negative. I understand the constraints they're under. I know they can't have the 24 episodes a season that it would take to even get close to what they needed to tell the story more fully. But they do sometimes leave really big black holes that, like you said, the malaria, like, you know, what was that about? But I do want to point out my girl, Caitlin. If you go back and watch that scene while everyone else is complaining about walking along the river, the whole time in the background, she's acting sick. So maybe she got her. She was like, I'm supposed to be sick. I'm going to act like it. So if you watch her in the back, she's totally going for the whole, I don't feel well. And like at one point, she's like pulling at her her capelet, like shawl thing, like it's too tight, like when people are hot. I mean, baby, she was selling it. So she was making sure everybody knew she did not feel well. And it wasn't just being whingy, like Marcella.
So I want to say something about that because I watched it. I've actually now watched it 3 times. Once was on my phone, so it was really stretching my vision. But so I come from a medical background, and I actually used to teach patient care. I looked at that and saw Lizzie, who is as tall as Brianna. So Caitlin's and
taller.
Sophie are either about the same height. Sophie wears heels, and Caitlin wears flats. She told us that in Paris. So when she starts to go down, the smallest person there is there trying to catch her.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little
so
tiny.
That actually breaks rule number one, is that if somebody's going down, you never, ever, ever try to hold them up. The rule is you help them gently to the ground, because you're going to get hurt. And so they were kind of all holding her up and I looked at that from a patient care perspective. It's like, yeah, they should have just like helped her to the ground so she didn't hit her head on a rock. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. Just kind of, again, you guys know I obsess over, you know, I may watch the whole episode a couple of times, but I go back and shot by shot watch anything with Caitlin or Paul in it. It was very clear that Malva was the first one to notice that Lizzie was in distress and was falling. And I just think that's interesting because I think it's just another clue of how observant Malva is and how she's watching everyone for every little thing all the time.
I think that's part of Jessica Reynolds' talent as an actress that we see that.
I can't wait to see the script. I don't think it's out yet. It usually doesn't come out for a couple of days. I have to go check. But I want to see what the directions were for that. Was that something they you know, specifically said, Malva's watching closely or something like that? Or whether that was a Jessica thing. But yeah, I just you know, if you just watch the scenes with Malva, she's intently studying everybody that's there. It's not just Claire, it's everybody.
Right. I want to know how Malva felt as they came on this charm that we're assuming we know that it was her who did it. And is she thinking, oh, God, now I'm in trouble. What do I do now? You know?
Yeah.
But it was kind of out in the open. I mean, not that you'd ever expect people to be walking along a riverbank, but it really was out in the open, you know? And kind of surprised me that Marcelle would recognize it. that she wasn't.
Don't think of it. Well, they had her a couple of, you know, episodes, of maybe it was last season. They remember they had her doing the tarot cards.
Doing
so maybe
the
they
tarot
cards,
yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of into that sort of stuff as a hobby, as
right,
a fun thing.
Right.
Well, and someone else mentioned that probably Larry told her, because Larry was burned by Claire's love charm and went and studied all the other love charms and taught properly. That was a joke, but, you know, maybe she learned it from Larry. I'm just saying.
What was even funnier,
like,
Kathy, is you said Leary, and I thought you said Larry, as in L-A-R-R-Y.
I thought that's what I was trying to figure out.
I thought she said Larry, too. I was going to say, who's Larry?
But it's like mother like daughter, right?
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Lag-a-Larry Harry.
Lake Harry.
How I pronounced it the first book.
All very interesting. I love all the different viewpoints that everybody brings. Like, you are so invested in Lizzie and Joe and Kezi, you know, but I'm excited to see how that storyline comes out, how they've handled that. You know, will they, it seems like they have to go to that at some point, you know, because they've really set it up. So, I'm interested to see how they handle it.
And because Kathy probably won't plug her own issue or her own episodes, she does a Saturday afternoon chat specifically to talk about the last episode and all of the different things that Kezi and Joe and Caitlin were in. It's a what do you call it? Rigatoire? And it's a fun little discussion. She really dives down deep. She's very prepared. She brings clips of every scene, and we stop and we pause and we talk and we dissect. And it's actually extremely interesting, and there's a great group of people. So if you're looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon, join.
Yep, I posted on all three Twitter accounts, Cats and Kilt, Caitlin's Coterie, or at Kate O'Ryan's Band, and The Pollinators. And that's P-A-U-L-I-N-A-O-T-R-S.
Yeah,
Pollinators. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. And Erin, I think you will appreciate this. I actually thought of that first because of the Disney Tough to Be a Bug at Animal Kingdom. And, you know, that's the song, We Are Pollinators.
Right.
In my head, I sing that every time I say The Pollinators.
That's funny. Yep. So, you know, actually, though, Sam, I think had we given Kathy the question of, gee, do you have anything going on, I think she would have been happy to promote it herself. I don't think Kathy is shy. So,
oh, me?
Well,
she's retired now.
You're talking with a group of three also. Three other non-shy people.
Yeah.
So,
I'm shy.
Definitely. No, you aren't.
Right.
Well, Kat, thank you for calling in. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm really excited. Although, I know you'll mention it next week too, but just kind of a heads up for the people that don't follow closely. We only have episode 6 this weekend, and then there's going to be a break before we see the last 2 episodes. And it always is shocking to people when there's that break.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I've been trying to tell people as much as possible. So
yep, I mentioned that at the top of the show. I mentioned that at the top of the show, yep. So
yeah, and I just don't think we can say it too often, though, because it's going to freak people out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to get people Easter Sunday morning saying, where was Outlander? Why didn't my cable company show it? So you know, that's going to happen.
They're going to be calling cable companies. I feel bad. I don't normally feel bad for cable companies. I think they get what they deserve. But in that case, that won't be their fault. So anyway.
Yeah,
that's all I have. And, yeah, enjoy listening to you guys. So I'll get off now and I'll be quiet the rest of the time.
Okay, Kat, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that would be a fun thing to do to join Kat and everybody else on her Zoom thing on Saturdays. I have not yet been able to do that. We're usually out and about on Saturday afternoons. But we have another caller. Let's see who this is. I think I can guess, but I'm not going to say it. So, hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
It's Jamie.
Yep, I knew it. we're starting to learn phone numbers. After 2 years. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys?
Good.
I think we're all in good shape today. So what did you
feeling good with my wine?
What did you think of the episode, Jamie?
I really liked it. I like any time you have Lord John Grey. The scene where on the mantle or whatever it was that Jamie did the walk back, and the look on Sam's face.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Was just, you know, I love when he does those things where it's like he doesn't say anything, but he says so much with his expressions.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that was cool. I did see that it looked like Lord John Grey had tears in his eyes when he was having that conversation with Jamie. So it's like, oh, poor John's getting his heart broken yet again.
Yeah.
So I feel for that, and I'm so eager to see upcoming story and, you know, William coming in again. So I hope that all goes well. I do remember from season 4 that Lizzie was mentioned that she had the malaria, and she wasn't on camera. They just said, because they were out in a little, like, out cabin, or it was the corn crib or something.
Uh-huh.
And it might have been the episode where they had the dinner with Murtaugh. It was pretty close to the beginning of when Brianna had first come to the Ridge. And Claire excused herself to go check on Lizzie to see how she was feeling.
Okay.
So but it was that one snippet. So,
Definitely a throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Do you have any thoughts about the final scene of the Colonel Bogey March? And
I loved it.
I loved it. And I couldn't place the movie. I knew my dad used to sing that Comet song.
Yeah.
And
Comet.
Like, that popped into my head. And it's like, well, what dark, deep corner of my brain was that in? So, well, because my dad's been gone 20 years now. So it's like, I didn't know where that was hiding in my head, but it was in there. And I'm like, oh, I know this song. And my husband's like, so who's in the jail? I'm like, that's the guy who, and I knew what his name was, but I told my husband, I said, do you remember the scene where the guy says to her, do you know who Ringo Starr is? And he's like, ooh. And he's like, oh, so he's got this stone. And I said, I can't tell you because it's changed. There's something different. So I can't say anything because I don't know how they're going to spin it because there's already a tweak.
I've seen your name, but that is the question in all the groups, wanting to know who it is. Of course.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I saw him right away because they actually did a close up on him when he was on a horse when Brown arrived at the Ridge, and they did a close up, and I'm like, ooh, that's Wendigo. I can tell it's going to be Wendigo Donner. And
well, if I played a drinking game here at home, and every time I had this, I've been all over the internet. If I took a drink for every time you had to tell these poor souls who it was,
oh,
I'd
yeah.
be on the floor.
Oh,
oh my
well,
God,
yeah.
they're so cool. I guess you've got to set these poor people straight.
Who was the other person? They thought it was somebody else, and... Oh, there's another.
Somebody thought it could have been Bonnet. Somebody thought it could have been Murtaugh. Somebody thought it could have been. Oh, yeah, they were coming up with all. I'm surprised somebody didn't say, oh, is that William?
And, like, all of us were like, Wendigo, Wendigo Donner, Wendigo Donner, part of the Montauk
right.
Five. He went back with Robert Springer, Ottertooth.
Right.
And they got separated in time. And, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode did a lot of putting very brief comments of referencing things that you know are going to, if you're a book reader, you know are coming. So they referenced malaria really for like the first obvious time. They referenced Jocasta buying Fergus a print shop in New Bern. They mentioned the dreams about the French gold. They even kind of hinted maybe that, you know, Obadiah Henderson is going to check up on Bobby Higgins. Amy McCollum. So maybe my mind went faster than my mouth. So maybe he's going to be the character in the book, Bobby, who maybe they're not going to have him. Maybe Obadiah becomes that character. I don't know.
Well, yeah, who knows? We'll
see. That would fit. If Lord John was only in this episode, that actually would fit because then they may not need Bobby as an emissary. However, I'm still hoping that there's going to be a little voiceover for David is Lord John Grey if they exchange a letter or two in the last three episodes.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I would really like to see Bobby because then that's kind of like John's way of keeping tabs on Jamie and keeping an eye on him without having to have the, because they're on two different sides, that act his way of, you know, keeping an eye on Jamie. So,
yeah. Interesting. I guess we'll have to wait.
Did you see the preview for the next week? So, that very last scene, I so remember that in the book. Since I just read it for TPS. That very last
scene. She's not sure she saw,
Oh, but Claire is dying in the book. In the book. Because I haven't seen the episode, but she's dying.
I guess,
okay, you just pipe it down over there.
But I haven't seen
Follow
the promo.
You.
So,
but in she's talking in her head, and she sees this, and her words were, "Oh no, that won't do," and she pulled herself out of death because she saw that. It was like,
wow.
No, she doesn't.
I cannot wait.
Thank God. Next week's going to be good.
Not the week after Easter. I'd be dying.
Well, exactly, because it's going to be tough because I can't remember if they had for season five a break for any holiday or something, if they took a bye week.
Okay,
and I
don't remember that
for
either.
Season four either. I do remember the season three bye week because it gave birth that week. So that's how I remember where there was a week between before from, 305 to 306. So you saw the bell ring and Claire come in and he fell over. And then you had to wait 2 weeks before you saw it again. And thankfully, my kid decided that she was going to come during the week, and I got to come home on a Saturday, and I had my app all ready on my iPad, and I was all rearing to go in case I had to watch it at the hospital. Yeah, because I'm not obsessed. And yes, that is the child that you all know her name. So.
Right. That's funny.
So, yeah.
My parents just started watching Outlander.
Ooh.
So that was interesting. They're on season 1, episode 8 today.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
And if they're still going, hey, that's great, because I know somebody who stopped at 7 and said they couldn't handle, there was too much sexuality and it went against her religion. And I'm like,
oh no, my parents,
okay.
My parents haven't shied away from any of that, but it's been interesting. But I did warn him that 15 and 16 were hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think I warned my husband. I said, there's some bad stuff that's going to happen. He's like, I think I can put 2 and 2 together. I said, you're going to have to put 22 and 22 together, because trust me, it's going to be bad. And man, did he look uncomfortable. And it was, he was like on the computer, I remember, and he was kind of side-eyeing it. I could see him cringing. But everybody I tell, hey, you got to watch the show. But episodes 15 and 16 in the first season are really, really, really hard. So...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yep,
we'll see how they. Yeah. Well, next week you'll all need to watch it more than once,
mm-hmm.
and make sure that nobody interrupts you.
Yep.
Okay, that's easy for me. Jamie, you go to the closet.
Well, you know what? My husband caught on that I sit in, because I sit with the older girls and wait till they fall asleep, and I have my headphones in there and my iPad. So I was watching Bridgerton and making sure that I finished before I saw any spoilers. And he's like, well, are they that hard to get to bed that takes you so long? And I'm like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm in there watching something.
You're messing.
So, yeah, I can definitely get away with or if I'm up early in the morning before the girls wake up, I can watch it on the bedroom TV where I can stream it and I don't have to worry about them coming in. So, I'm excited. I'm probably going to watch that one definitely a bunch of times, because it's going to be, you know, I can't wait to see all the scenes that Jamie has, because, you know, Claire holds herself together really well when Jamie's been in some tough shots, like when she was so afraid she was going to have to amputate his leg because of the snake bite. But Jamie, when Claire's not well, is going to be really fascinating to watch. So I know Sam's going to hit it out of the park again. So I can't wait to see the fantasticness of
that.
It's going to be great.
Yes. So, well, very good.
I just
good.
Checked my calendar, and I'm totally free on the weekend, so I'm all good.
There you go. Uh-huh. Well, you know, if you need to tell, you got a way to message me. You can send me a message. What'd you think of that? You all know how to find me.
The good thing is that I'm home, and I don't have to watch it on my phone.
Yeah. So, the nice thing is that my husband stays up on Saturday nights to watch it with me. The downside is that he doesn't put the TV
stays
very
up
loud.
And watches it with me.
Yeah,
sorry.
And he doesn't put it very loud, and he doesn't put the subtitles on. Where I like the subtitles, because it also, like, it would have mentioned the song, because when I watched it again to look at who it was at the end to make sure I was right, it said the name of the song. So
right.
But
yeah.
So.
Well, great. Well, thank
I can't
you,
believe
Jamie,
it's only
for...
Tuesday. I can't wait.
Yep, you've got a few more days.
Yep.
So,
well,
unless
alrighty.
You come over here,
well, I will
and
talk to
you
guys.
Can watch my screener, but...
There you go. Oh, don't tempt me.
Okay.
Don't tempt me. I can leave the kids in the car with their Kindles and, you know... Yeah, okay.
And Jamie only lives 20 minutes from me, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So something else that you didn't bring up, there were a couple of Outlander filming sightings today.
Yes, I saw one of them. Mm-hmm. Tell us about
you saw one of them, and I saw another because Crafty Christine sent it to me. So one, you want to talk about your the one you saw?
No, go ahead. Well, we may have seen the same one. I don't know.
Well, no, probably not, because you're not into cats.
Oh, well, there was one of was it llamas? She was walking llamas past a field where there were
wagons.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, that's the one I saw. It was on the One
ship.
Bike, One World. It was still the
ship.
Yeah.
Oh, llamas.
Yeah.
Right. The llamas. Yes. One Bike, One World. Yeah.
Well, I saw it on Scotland Scenery. It was originally posted in Scotland Scenery, and I think I saw it because Crafty reposted it somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been following One Bike, One World for like 3 years now.
Oh, no, the llamas I saw on Twitter. The llamas I saw on Twitter.
So that's One Bike, One World, and, you know, his story with finding a cat that was abandoned in a rocky area, I think in Croatia. And so now it's just been the big story. And Dean is a Scot, and he's decided to go home for a while. And Nala is pulling through a little sickness. But he went to go find this llama place and stumbled on an encampment for Outlander filming.
Interesting.
So for whoever's listening, if you get out there, One Bike, One World, and that's the number one for both, on Instagram, you got to look at his stories, and it's in a video, and you can see it. By the way, it's the Muir Woods, in case you don't see it.
Yeah.
A bunch of things are set up. But you saw something else.
Well, the Scotland Scenery actually was the boat, yes.
The boat.
So
what do you think that is? You really think that is them going to Scotland to get the to take Ian back to see his mom and to get the printing press? We
know
they film out of order. So
there are a couple reasons. I posted in my group. I still posted the picture in my group and said, so what do you think they need a ship for? And people had five or six different ship references.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see which one it is. One of the things that somebody mentioned was, and I guess some of this is spoilers, so I have to be careful, but Claire is arrested at one point and is on a ship anchored in harbor. But I don't think that's
by ship in the book.
I'm almost going with that one only because they made a very specific point of introducing Governor Martin. And isn't Martin the one that she ends up with. So I'm thinking that they showed him in this Lord John Grey scene so that they can bring him back as the governor, because you've already seen him now this season.
The governor of around the town of New Bern that we got wrong in the trivia question because it was my fault? And,
I like the way you bring up your own foibles. But yes,
it was my fault. Hey, okay. But they just went by land everywhere. They kept looking for a place to put her in the brig.
There was a scene with her on a boat. And that's where Jamie and Tom Christie both find her.
Yep.
Yes.
I remember this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't remember that. But I remember New Bern now. I won't get that wrong.
Twice. Yeah. So what were the things people came up with? Somebody said they'll need three ships at least, and Karen Quattlebaum says book readers know. Claire and Jamie go back to Scotland. Claire is held on a ship. And then it doesn't look okay. There's a couple of potential reasons. And, you know, there is a war on, and there are naval ships dealing with war. So who knows what they come up with. So I guess we'll know when season 7 is out. So that'll be a while.
Oh, yeah.
So
a long while.
Anything else we want to talk about this episode?
Well, I love the fact that... Oh, I'm sorry. See, no, you've got the delay. We don't. You have the delay, so that's why we keep talking over each other, I think. But I like the fact that Jamie called Fergus my son twice. He called him my son when he was talking with Jocasta, and then he, you know, twice again he said it, you know, I hope, what did he say? You know, I hope nothing happens to my son or something. I mean, I love it. I just love it. Of course, that was his probably farewell now for the season because, you know, okay, now he's off, you know, getting a printing press, whatever. But,
yeah. What about the scene where Claire, Jocasta, and Flora light it up out in the gazebo?
Claire's pot party? I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty funny.
I did not like that. Let me clarify this. That part didn't bother me. It was Claire using the ether in the open in that gazebo afterwards that bothered
that's
me.
That's just stupid. Yeah, no. That's ridiculous, yes.
So, you know what? So, since you brought that up, you know, when we had breakfast brunch with Diana.
Right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about, remember we actually I brought it up and then there was a rather semi-lengthy discussion about the ether. Do you want to talk about that with the candle and the ether? And do you remember that? Or were you in La La Land, even though you were sitting right next to herself?
What, just because I have memory lapses? No, go ahead, talk about it.
Well, it came up, somebody brought it up, and I brought up, so what about having the candle flame right there? And she actually talked at length about the flammability characteristics of ether, which was really interesting. So what Diana said, and this was a week and a half ago when 7 of us had brunch with Diana in Flagstaff. Aaron wanted to know who the 8th person was, but anyway, okay, enough of that. So we were talking about it and she said, really, it's not flammable when it's just out in the air with a candle that's already lit because that's not really, it seemed to me, she didn't say a catalyst, but it sounded like it really needed a catalyst. What she did say is that the ether is heavier than air. So what happens is that the ether, it doesn't float in the air. Once you have it open, the fumes sink.
Right.
So when it's just right there in the open, it's okay because the ether fumes are heavier than air and they sink to the ground. So if you have a spark, like if it's really dry and, you know, you walk and it's staticky, that actually could ignite it. So it actually was really interesting when she was talking about that. So it wasn't necessarily that part of the problem because a lot of people have had an issue with that candle being by the ether in, a couple episodes ago.
Right.
That wasn't actually what the problem was because ether sinks. So the vapor sinks. So that was actually kind of interesting when she was talking about it. Totally independent of the fact that she probably wouldn't have that addiction to begin with.
Right, and we did talk about, she really expressed that she did not like that storyline. And then somebody pointed me today to a short interview with Diana in The Dip, where she says that it was very interesting that, let's see if I can find this. Marcy, if you're listening, I'm going back to look at this. The headline says Diana supports season 6's change of Claire using ether, but that's not what she actually says in the article. She was very diplomatic about how she phrased that she thought they did it well, which doesn't mean that she supports a change. You know, you can say something did it well even if you don't agree with it. But she did say she did not think that this was something that Claire would do, that alcohol was more up to Claire's standard.
Really?
Yes.
We know that from episode one, season one.
Right. But, you know, and I said to her, you know, I'm really surprised that Claire would do that because of the short amount of time that she would get the relief. You know, she puts the mask on her face, she passes out, the mask falls off her face, rolls out to the floor, and she wakes up. And Diana says, exactly, why would Claire do something that she absolutely knew would give her just a couple of minutes? You know, that
well,
doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, and from a person, me, I've had a lot of surgeries, like an obscene number of surgeries.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, that moment right before when you're talking to them and then you wake up, but it's that moment right before, it is a very interesting feeling of euphoria. So from that perspective, I can totally understand why somebody would do it, because it is a really nice feeling of, I feel no pain. Not that I want to go have my knee replaced three more times to go get that feeling, but it actually really, really is, because it's just a couple of minutes and then you're out and then you're awake. And really,
but it actually is. That's a real individualized reaction. Not everybody has that reaction. Every time I've been put under, I wake up and I throw up and then I go back under and I don't remember anything at all. So your reaction to any kind of anesthetic is kind of your personal reaction. And if you have a moment of euphoria, that's great. But you can't count on that being a general reaction that most people have or not.
Right.
So
that's interesting. Don't call me Claire.
Yeah, but every time, and I've had a couple of surgeries, and then I had a C-section where I was out. But every single time, I've woken up, thrown up, and gone back out. So
wow.
So
nope, I've been fine with all 30 of them. So
hopefully, you will never have to do that again. But
yeah, well, okay.
Yeah. But the fact that she was so exposed sitting there, and if anybody had come across her when she was out, what would they have thought? You know,
that's a sign of desperation.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know, that just really bothered me. So, and then of course, Flora, you know, getting up to speak all high and everything. So, I thought that was interesting.
Speaking of Flora, I found it really interesting in that I never really got that before, that she was actually a loyalist. Was she a loyalist in real life?
I don't know anything about her.
Yeah, I don't know either. That was really interesting to me.
But, you know, over the intervening years, the intervening 20 years, I'll bet you that there was a good number of Scots who decided that the reasons we were fighting didn't make any sense, and look, now we're all settled in, and as long as the king can take care of us, we might as well just go ahead and, you know, support him, and we've all dealt with the problems of rebellion, and it's not worth it. So let's not do that again. I'll bet you there are an awful lot of people who in those 20 years came to that conclusion. And as Flora had been obviously a supporter of the prince and helped him get away, she wasn't a loyalist to start with. You know, that's my take on it, that she couldn't have been, or else she would have turned him in, you know, rather than helping him escape. But she prospered in the 20 years in between, or decided it wasn't worth fighting anymore. Who knows? But she didn't want to tell anybody else that fighting was worth it. So
she also didn't know that the UK was going to be on the losing side of the colonial war. We'll put it that way.
But she had seen what war did to populations and
yes,
didn't want anybody else to go through what she had gone through. So, but there was that moment in the opening sequence where the redcoat calls her back, and you could just see that desperation in her eyes, like, he's changed his mind. We're all going to be arrested. He's going to find out who this is with me.
And he's going to realize that Betty is really homely.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I was there worried for her, you know, as she took that moment, composed her face and turned back. So I thought that Sean McDonald did a great job in that scene, the opening scene there. I enjoyed that.
She really did. So, like, were you worried about them in that rickety boat?
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, okay. I don't know.
Middle of the night, yep. So... Yeah, yeah, it certainly wasn't the time to go sailing on the sea, so, but, yeah, okay, well, next week, we'll be talking about...
Do you want to give just one itty-bitty last event announcement, Samantha?
Yes. Yes.
Can you send it to me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that one for our Canadian friends. I sent it to you, so now you have to say it because I don't have it in front of me now.
It's the Fergus Scott Festival, and what Duncan was telling us about this, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been announced.
Okay, well, what is this?
He's going to be a special guest at the Fergus Scott Festival in Fergus, Ontario, Canada.
Date? In August.
August 2nd through 14th.
Yeah.
And tickets go on sale tomorrow, so... Go find Fergus Scott Festival on
Twitter
and Instagram, and you'll find out all about it.
Okay.
And if you want to camp, this is your event.
No, I don't want to camp.
No,
no,
I don't want to camp.
No, not at all. Thank you. Well, that could be interesting. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Diana's done that event. I mean, it's got to be fun, right?
I'm sure she has camped.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to close it out for the night. Join us next week as we talk about episode 606. I'm sure we will have lots to talk about. And we hope that you'll call in and join us and tell us what you thought of the episode. And then we'll have a week in between, but we will still be here. And then two more episodes. So our season is drawing to a close, and it's been a very interesting and I think we can all agree, an excellent season so far. So have a good night.
What's great is that they're not doing like 20-minute meanders through jungle scenery.
They are
really packing it in, and it's amazing.
Yep, yep.
Really thankful for that. So anyway,
yep.
Take it away.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sam and Coco, for joining me tonight. And have a good night, everybody. And enjoy Outlander. We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.